Good evening, South Cars. This is South Cars, the South Coast Amateur Radio Service, and we're coming up on the monthly Thursday Information Net in 5 minutes at the top of the hour. A very interesting subject tonight about safekeeping your shack using different inexpensive Raspberry Pi and small board computer based camera surveillance tools. And for those who enjoy cameras, it may also be of interest to you as well. So we hope that you will join us at the top of the hour for this month's South Cars Thursday Information Net. See you at the top of the hour. This is NO70.
You beat me by seconds. I was just getting ready to key up and make the same announcement there, George. But thank you for doing so. KV9EWG.
Roger, NO70 clear.
Well, good evening, good morning, good afternoon, depending on what part of the planet you're standing on. This is SCARS, the South Coast Amateur Radio Service. This net is conducted under the guidelines of the SCARS organization and further follows the rules outlined in FCC Part 97 and Good Amateur Practice. This SCARS server is supplied by the Great Lakes Reflector System, provided by KV8ZGL. Thank you to KV8ZGL for that. And all contacts and requests for information will be handled through net control. When contact with the another station is made, please move off the system and establish your contact direct so the net may continue. In fairness to all, short-time stations will not be recognized as such. All stations will be worked in the order in which they have checked in. Information regarding operations may be found at our website, scarsvoip.com. That's scarsvoip.com. Prior to starting this net, I would like to ask, is any emergency or priority traffic at this time that needs to be handled? Okay, no emergencies. That's always a good thing, no emergencies there. Do we have anybody celebrating birthdays, anniversaries, or anything else that we need to help you celebrate and help you have a good time with? If so, come now, please. Well, as Kathy always likes to say, I guess nobody's getting any older, so no birthdays this time here. This is the monthly Thursday Information Net, Open Forum, or TIN for short. This net is conducted to provide information pursuant to amateur radio subjects and or other areas of general interest for those participating. All are encouraged to participate and ask questions of our guest speaker or speakers. Now, let me advise you that all stations connected to this net, that this net will be recorded for future presentation on our website podcast. And all stations participating will be part of that recording. Stand by. So this is our Thursday Information Net. Tonight's topic, we'll be talking about DIY home security. I think I'm going to start off things and pass it over to George, NO70, who's got a few words about legality. George, it's all yours, sir.
Well, thank you, Dave. Good evening, everyone, to South Cars. For all of you that are attending, thank you for dropping by, and we look forward to your participation and check-ins, and I look forward to your guests and others listening to the podcast after it's been posted sometime late Friday or on Saturday. So, my name is George. My call is NO70, located in Nottingham, Maryland. We have thunderstorms forecast for tonight, but it's still a very beautiful night. All right, so let's take a look at some of the legality issues regarding video camera surveillance, whether it be using a Raspberry Pi, a small board computer, or a commercial surveillance system, whatever it may be. It is important that you respect all legal surveillance requirements where you install your surveillance or Raspberry Pi cameras. Most of the time, as long as the device does not trigger an external alarm or police response, and it does not show any public areas, then usually it, or if it is permitted, rather, by your landlord or lease, and is used only in your own quarters with a sign alerting any visitors to the use of a video surveillance device, you may be able to legally argue that this is the equivalent of a camera, a video camera, used inside your own quarters for your own enjoyment. Let me reset. However, this information I'm giving you now is not to be taken as legal advice. It is a consideration for you to think about. It is your responsibility to check the legality of surveillance inside your own quarters and in the views accessible through your windows and of your yard and so forth. The increasing use of surveillance devices and public awareness of 24-hour monitoring of movements is a recent change in legal expectations that affects public surveillance acceptance. However, be aware that law enforcement may require you to divulge any saved images, even if the images are only of your own internal or private quarters. Consider the recent outcry by law enforcement against the Supreme Court established right of private individuals to video encounters, and that has caused such a stir in recent news reports and court cases. In summary, be sure to protect yourself against charges of unauthorized video surveillance, either in your personal own site, station, quarters, and house, or in off-site locations. Caution is still needed even when the site is unattended and as public video surveillance cautions posted. It is your responsibility to check with your legal guidance and to take their guidance and suggestion. I am not an attorney. These are just thoughts of legal issues that have been at the forefront of news and people are concerned about being aware of nowadays. All right, so with the legality issues out of the way, let me reset. So let's now proceed to the topic at hand tonight of how to save a lot of money and take care of your station equipment and your home and presence. So here with the first thoughts about the usefulness of a Raspberry Pi camera surveillance setup at a fraction of the cost of commercial surveillance and a comparison of the two functions with the cost advantages and reliability considerations. Here is Dave, GW8SZL. Is the Petrified One available? GW8SZL in Seminole. Good evening, sir. Over.
Yeah, thank you very much, George. This is Dave, Golf Whiskey 8 Sierra Zulu Lima at Newport in South Wales in the UK. Okay, here are some thoughts about the usefulness of a Raspberry Pi or other small board computer camera surveillance system. For example, you could have it monitoring your radio room, home, porch, and your property. And you can really take it off-site, such as to an emergency communications exercise or even just to the laundromat. Once you've decided to implement video surveillance to safeguard your premises and personal property, your next decisions will be regarding cost for the Raspberry Pi camera setup and comparing it to the cost of commercial solutions. Most commercial surveillance solutions using the highest grade components range in cost from a few hundred to thousands of dollars. The commercial grade cameras, weatherproof enclosures, recording devices, timestamps, and law enforcement standards drive up the cost to the highest ranges and beyond to an individual's budget, who just needs a deterrent and emergency image source of any physical intrusions into the range of the camera's view. Now, the cost of a Raspberry Pi Zero with camera is a significant advantage over the cost of a commercial surveillance system for your radio room, home, porch, package delivery location, or surrounding property, including carports or street parking for your personally owned transportation. Other target areas may come to mind as you plan out your personal property surveillance areas for the Raspberry Pi. A Raspberry Pi camera solution can be arranged for about $50 to $100 US. That's in 2021 value. Now, these amounts do not include the one-time use of hardware adapters, like an on-the-go camera cable or HDMI mini to regular converter, nor a power supply, because most AC power strips with surge protection can be purchased with USB power receptacles on the power strip that are more than adequate to power a Raspberry Pi Zero camera up to a Raspberry Pi 3B model. Use of a Raspberry Pi 4 model is really overkill for a camera surveillance setup. Reset. Cost may also be a consideration as you decide which model of Raspberry Pi to use with one of the compatible cameras. Now, in many cases, one of the less powerful models would have an advantage. Specifically, the cost and labor expense of replacing a stolen top-of-the-line Raspberry Pi 4B from a surveillance location would be significant compared to the Pi Zero or the Model 3 flavors. Use of the more expensive Pi models for multitasking for both camera operations and at the same time as media servers or ad blockers or even Wi-Fi range extenders may at first appear to be an economical use of the multitasking power of the Pi's Debian Linux operating system. However, if one is using a more expensive top-of-the-line model like a Pi 4B, test for the Pi 4B camera would present significant economic loss of around $70, that's in 2021 dollars, compared to the 3B or earlier models, many of which may be found lying around unused, reducing the cost of loss of the Pi and camera to around $10, plus of course the SD card of lower storage capacity. Also, the cost and value of your time in loss of operational capacity. The impact on your personal time loss and labor cost increase along with the higher capacity models like the Pi 4B. Your personal labor and materials cost to set up a replacement for all of the surveillance, media server, web server, range extender, and custom program functions are opportunity and financial cost that you may lose if a Raspberry Pi camera device was stolen. What is that? There is a labor cost requirement and programming time cost that, while not actually cost in terms of cash, will require your time and effort. The advantage is that your time is being rewarded in the hundreds of thousands of dollars savings from the cost of actually buying a pre-programmed commercial camera solution. Now, another advantage is that the software libraries that capture an image, rotated to a useful viewing angle, never mind the matter of the position of the camera, adjust the exposure and timing of the image, and other image processing options are easily available. They are open source for the Python program and free to use. In addition, the motion detection software libraries are open source, so there's a major cost saving there as well. There's also a battery life advantage with use of the most basic models of Raspberry Pi, as well as the opportunity to place additional surveillance Raspberry Pis in areas of increasing risk over time. By using a small Pi Zero and a battery pack, possibly concealed inside a stuffed animal, several camera installations may be made affordable for the cost of one camera system using the larger models, like the Pi 2, 3, and 4. Now, recently, there have been multi-packs of Raspberry Pi cameras in the cost range of $25 for a 5-pack, much less than the original $30 to $80, for a savings of $25 to $75 per Pi Zero camera installation, and that's in 2021 US dollars. This would bring the possibility of several more inexpensive and easily concealed cameras simply by using the more basic and much smaller Pi Zero model. The disadvantage is that you would need to know how to use SSH and other networking tools to make use of a headless Pi Zero camera installation. Reset. While this means some labor on your part, you will earn new skills, possibly have new professional opportunities, and recover your personal time in very real US dollars. The savings over a Raspberry Pi later model may be up to over $125. And up to several thousand dollars over a commercial setup when live streaming is set up on the Pi or other small board computer. Of course, an internet connection will be needed where the Raspberry Pi camera is located. A radio room operator may set up a surveillance camera of their own personal equipment at a significantly lower cost using a small board computer like a Raspberry Pi that would otherwise be too great for a self-financed commercial motion detection surveillance software. Reset. Okay, the reliability of commercially made systems. Now, commercial video surveillance hardware and installation is usually very expensive and carries with it a risk of interest by law enforcement desiring access to any of the captured images, even if the images are unrelated to your own property or outside of your property line. An example might be images of the road where traffic accidents or images of vehicles involved in crime may be requested by law enforcement. Okay, and then we'll take a quick reset and then we'll call for any check-ins. Okay, this is Golf Whiskey 8 Sierra Zulu Lima. Would anybody like to check in at this time? Any comments or questions, please call now.
Yeah, morning Dave. I'll be in and out. I know you don't like in and outs, but what resolution are these cameras? I assume you're talking about the Pis come with some sort of little tiny camera. So what resolution and what's the angle of the spread of the camera? I suppose I can look it up on the internet, but are they really good quality or not?
Okay, I got the VK3HJQ, John, down there in Victoria in Australia. There are various ones available, John. You just have to check, have a look and see what the requirements are. And find the appropriate one and buy it. Back to you from GW at SRL.
I like the answer, so yeah, look it up on Google. Okay, thanks Dave, better go ahead and finish these lawns off. Thanks for running VK3HJQ.
807 or comment?
Yeah, no, 7-0, I got you there, George. Yes, John, as I say, it depends on what you want, and even if you really want to be clever, and the camera hasn't got any LEDs for the infrared version for nighttime viewing, you can set them up separately as well. Round to George for your comment. NO70GWSNL.
Well, his questions are very perceptive, and KY6B is going to go in further detail. Right now, there are three major types, the most expensive having a camera mount, and the older models used to be a 5-megapixel, and now some are 8-megapixel sensors, but no KY6V is going to be going into more detail, including the type of mount that those are. So let me respect the fact that Gordon is going to give us more information, and if you want to check the recording too as well without having to go do a search of Google in the meantime, that might save you some time as well. So thank you for the very good question. And back to Dave, GW8SNL, NO70. Over.
Yeah, okay there, George. Thank you very much for the additional information there. Okay, any further check-ins or questions, comments at this time, please call now.
Good morning, VK2DY.
Okay, we got Robert there, VK2DY. And good morning to you, Robert. I can actually say that now because it is actually morning here. Go ahead.
Hi, good morning, Dave. This is VK2DY in Sydney here. 15 degrees Celsius and sunny, beautiful spring day. Last day that we have under 12 hours of daylight. Tomorrow we go over 12 hours, so everything's moving towards spring. Anyway, I just wanted to say that what I do for outdoor cameras is I have very obvious outdoor cameras that are actually fake, and the real cameras are hidden away. Because I find that, or at least I believe that visible cameras are a deterrent in and of themselves. VK2DY, back to net.
Yeah, from Golf Whiskey 8 Sierra Zulu Lima. Yeah, well, the color of all my security cameras are white, because, you know, they can be seen better, and people, yeah, as I say, it's a better deterrent. If we had black ones in the nighttime, nobody would see them, and they could still do damage. but if they'd seen them, they might think twice. Anyway, that's my thought process anyway. Okay, thank you, Robert. Do you have anything further at this time?
No, thank you. Thank you for taking my check-in. VK2DY.
Yeah, no problems at all there, Robert. Do you have any further check-ins at this time? Comments, questions, please call now. Okay, nothing heard. With that, David, Kilo Bravo 9, Echo Whiskey Golf is up next to discuss on-premise and off-premise Raspberry Pi camera considerations. KB9EWG, this is Golf Whiskey 8, Sierra Zulu, Lima. Go ahead, sir.
Well, thank you, Dave, and good evening, good morning to you there, sir, as well. Fine job. It says KB9EWG Echo 2289 is my South Car's number. And I'll be talking about regarding operational capabilities of on-premise and off-premise locations. It is important to note that the Pi camera does not include any sound circuits inside the camera to capture any audio. Sound is not included in the camera, and attempts by many individuals documented during the internet search have not shown any reliable methods of capturing audio with Raspberry Pi image. In addition, sound time tracking calibration of the audio with the video image is not easily obtainable. Lack of sound does not prevent the picture from being recorded if any undesirable activity occurs. The video image can be invaluable to document the events there. Many examples can be given on the usefulness of Raspberry Pi camera images. Again, some of these examples may not be legal or permitted in your municipality or in your lease, and it is important that if you check before engaging in such operations there. In some cases, use studies given in the next few minutes. Location of the Raspberry Pi camera falls into two major categories, on-premise and off-premise. On-premise operations have usually in modern times become very acceptable. Off-premise carries significant risk unless an actual event can be captured and the party usually responsible for the premise has been less than forthcoming when theft of property and loss of money. For example, washer and dryer time has been stolen and the property has been negligent and unresponsive to losses incurred on the property. Let me reset here. All right, continuing on. On-premises is defined by when within your own private quarters or property or on property you own or control. Off-premise is defined as protecting your belongings by video surveillance when the belongings are located on property owned or controlled by somebody else. Of course, off-premise surveillance may be at the discretion of the off-premise property owner. An on-premise example would be your garage, storage room, or backyard shed, front porch, package delivery location, or interior rooms of your house or apartment or flat. Off-premise, where you may be permitted and need to use video surveillance, would be the laundromat or a washateria where someone has made it a habit to remove your clothes from the washer or dryer and use your time and coins to pay for their cycle. Or perhaps take your clothes and fail to return them to you. In some jurisdictions, you are permitted to monitor the street in front of your house or apartment. In other jurisdictions, you may only be able to monitor inside your property line or not at all outside. Stand by. If ongoing events do require that you video surveil your property to provide loss of or identity the thefts, then law enforcement may require that you provide your videos and images to them. There are many other examples of when an off-premise setup of a Raspberry Pi camera at theft trouble spots or high-risk areas can help with personal property protection. Examples would be emergency communication exercise sites, such as field day locations, wherever you may need to put your personal items like laptops or computers or radios, especially in areas that you have rented for the occasion, or even places like a laundry room where your clothes are repeatedly stolen or time is stolen from the washer or dryer cycles. Stand by. The technical capability exists for a Raspberry Pi surveillance camera to protect your room, front porch, and off-site property by using the camera setup for remote monitoring of your property, home audio, video center, and radio equipment. Does anybody have any thoughts about when you could have use an inexpensive Raspberry Pi or a camera in recent decades to protect your property? Or if you prefer, please also call now with any check-ins or comments. This is KB9EW, standing by for check-ins. Does anybody have any questions, comments, or any other thoughts on Raspberry Pi cameras in which to check in this time? Please call KB9EWG.
N070 comment.
N070, go right ahead there, please.
No, well, thank you, Dave. Well, you know, the thought occurs that when we are helping with emergency communications exercises or actual events, and we certainly have had quite a few weather events lately, that the equipment, for example, generators or spare operating position setups may need to be located around the corner and slightly out of sight of the main operating position, whether it be for noise reasons or just a separation between operating positions. And that may make a line of sight invisible between those two operating positions. So when there are not enough people to sit at all the operating positions, then having some way of looking at the equipment that's out of sight by a surveillance camera, a remote camera, could go a long way towards safeguarding Radio Shack and radio equipment and communication equipment and personal property. So that was a thought. Thank you, KB9EWG on the TIN, N070. Over.
Yes, I can definitely see the usefulness in that, being able to monitor remotely that way if it's out of your physical sight and you have a way of monitoring through the Raspberry Pi camera. That could definitely prove useful. Thank you, George. Good comments there. Okay, anybody else wish to check in before I continue on here? If so, come now, please. Otherwise, I'll continue on. This is KB9EWG. Okay, no further comments. So now let's discuss how much more useful a Pi camera setup can be just collecting images or video on internal storage and having to retrieve it. Let's turn to Gordon KY6D for some important information about how to use the Pi camera images without having to actually go to where the camera is located. KY6D, how we see the Pi camera images and videos that have been captured when we are not located close to the camera. Captain, it's yours from KB9EWG.
Well, thank you, David. Good evening, everybody. Gordon here, KY6V. I'm still thinking about your comments about people stealing your time and money in the clothes cleaning business. And I was thinking back here, it would be nice to take a Raspberry Pi that would automatically trigger an arm. One of these mechanical arms, you know, that comes out of the middle of the dryer with a boxing glove on its fist, and it knocks you right on your prat. Anyway, we're going to get into cameras a little more deeper, and John, if you're still here, listen up by down there in Australia, dude, and maybe we'll pass some information on to you. Raspberry compatible camera types are the infrared, normal vision, and more recent and more advanced high-quality cameras that was introduced with adjustable back focus and support for C-minus and C-minus mount lenses. There are separate units and require a ribbon cable between the camera and the small ceramic pinch connector on the small board computer or Raspberry Pi. So prior to the high-quality camera with lens mount, there were only two types of cameras, infrared and normal vision. The infrared vision does not have an infrared filter. Now, how about that one? Therefore, the model name for the infrared version has the confusing model name of no IR. Somebody was thinking. The regular version model does not have the no IR designation, so there you have it. Historically speaking, the Raspberry Pi camera, model V1, sold until about April or so of 2016, had a 5-megapixel OmniVision sensor. Let me buy a nickel here. And the current models in April of 2016, so we're going back a few years to make this comment, the infrared and no infrared filter models capable of seeing infrared images were replaced with the version 2 or the V2, if you will, model with a Sony 1MX219 8-megapixel sensor. This second 8-megacycle model is a distinct improvement over the older 5-megacycle sensor of the first hardware camera version. So, the two basic models will remain in production until at least April 2016. That's a long time ago. And high-quality cameras are still with us, guys. Models will remain in production with at least January of 2027. Got a couple of years to think about that one, according to the Raspberry Pi Foundation website homepages. Let me buy another nickel. Okay, continuing on. Raspberry Pi camera cables are available in both a stub version for the Pi Zero and a regular width cable for the other Pi models. The stub version is more narrow at the Pi Zero end that clamps into the camera connector on the Pi Zero, and the other end is a regular width to clamp into the connector of the on the camera. So, you know, you got to watch what you're doing. Two different cables are required because the CSI camera port is narrower on the Pi Zero, and the wider cable will not fit into that cable port. The wider cable will fit into the Model 1 and above Raspberry models, including the P4 Bravo. I think I quoted that correctly. Yeah, the Pi4 Bravo. Cable lengths are available in several different lengths. The stock cable for the Pi-1 above may be purchased about 2 meters. So what's that, 6 feet, I guess? In length, the stub cable for the Raspberry Pi has extra long cable version of 300 millimeters. Now, I'd have to sit down and figure that out. But 300 millimeters, I think, is about 2 feet. In round figures. Don't quote me. Okay, let me reset again. This is KY6V. Okay, examination of the stub and normal cable show the pins connected by the internal wires of the camera cable are different between the Pi Zero stub cable and the normal cable. So beware of that one. How do we activate the camera to take pictures or start recording a video? And that goes on to say, the camera may be activated to take an image of a video at either the Debian Linux operating system command line or by using software library and programming language such as Python. To send the operating system level command and referencing the library in the programming language will give access to the still image and video multi-frame capture of recording modes. So there's a lot to think about as you go about putting this package together. But it's all worthwhile in the tail end. Each of these two commands are still or video have additional options that can adjust the exposure or important for effective motion detection discussed later in this program and making rotation of the image from one listening down there, John in Australia, I hope, rotation of the image from 1 to 359 degrees. That's almost a clean sweep, isn't it? Making it mounting of the Pi camera a non-issue because the image can be rotated no matter the orientation of the camera itself. That's slick, guys. To activate the Raspberry Pi camera, open a secure shell or remote terminal session to the Pi address of the camera. Then enter the command of either rasp still, or rasp-vid. Okay, that's with the necessary options on the command line. These options may easily be seen in the RPI Linux shell by entering the commands raspi-stil, that's the still, or help, or raspberry vid, raspivid, dash help. Okay, why options are necessary for camera options? I'm going to buy another nickel at this point. Stand by. Some of these options are necessary for the motion detection to work. Others allow you to advance image processing before the final image is stored. These options are quite versatile and can enhance the quality of the remote monitoring video system. It is possible to remotely access images, the video output of the Raspberry Pi and camera can also be streamed across the internet. Now think about this one. This is real neat. Streamed across the internet to wherever you have your access to the internet. You might be at work looking at video stream at your home or garage, a parked car some distance away. You should even be sitting in the coffee shop next door to that laundry where they were stealing your laundry earlier and watching your laundry for someone stealing the dryer time, as we were mentioning. Okay, now to get into some numbers here, I'll run this by quickly, but it'll be on the audio recording. For a video stream, using the RASPID terminal command allows output to a remote IP version host such as -0 TCP, and they give you a URL number, 192.168.1.2, port 1234. Or a UDP at 192.168.1.2.1234. That'll all be in the recording if you need it, guys. To listen on a TCP port IP4 and wait for incoming connections, use the -i option, and that would be RAPVID, that's RASPIVID again, -1-0, TCP:// grab this one, 0-0-0-0-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3- 3, all with dots in between each one. Bind all your network interfaces, or you can also go to 192.168.1.1333. Okay. I'm going to buy one more nickel. Hang on. KY6E here. When you use a command for the Pi camera to take a picture or record a video, either manually or by programming language like Python, you may use exposure mode options to improve the quality and relevance of your captured images. Now, these images are available by software switches for each of the RASSTILL and RASSVID commands. The camera options may include exposure mode, off, auto, night, backlight, anti-shake, among others. And in image mode, options would include none, photo, negative, Solaris, emboss, oil paint, and others. And the most common options that are necessary for motion detection include would be height, output file, path specifications, possible GPS location information, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So, questions for the audience. If you assigned to or located at an emergency communication site, location or a field day exercise, and a generator has to be placed far enough away and around the corner, out of sight, to prevent the noise from being a problem, how can you keep an eye on that generator or even the meal rations while the canteen is unattended? I'm going to let you guys think about that one. Call now for any check-ins, any comments, pause for whatever is necessary. KY6V, over.
Oscar Victor India, at your service.
What do you mean, at my service? You should be here as part of the program. Hi, Pete, go ahead.
And this is Katie for Oscar Victor India. Well, I inherited a Pi 4. I'm very pleased with it. I have it running on about a 14-inch monitor and on a keyboard, an old keyboard I had on the Windows system. I moved it over to the Raspberry Pi system. Have them both working, and I'm satisfied with it. I'm going to eventually make it bigger and smarter as I go along. But I'm very pleased with the Raspberry Pi. That's my report on that issue. Giddy Fulaski, Virginia, back in the control.
Well, that's great, Pete. Glad to hear that. Did you buy that as a package? It seemed to me that I was reading that somewhere. You could buy the Raspberry 4 with that comes with the camera, with the miniature keyboard, etc. Over.
Well, here's the cutting edge of it. The keyboard was one of those Bluetooth-type keyboard, and I didn't have very much success with that because my fingers are too big for that thing. I'll have to use a toothpick to get to it. The pads are just too small. And, you know, you almost have to use a toothpick or some matchstick or something to move those keys around. That's too big for me. And it was kind of cumbersome, too, to make it work. I found that the USB, you have a series of USB ports there that you can put the keyboard and the mouse. You can get the mouse on there. And also the video on there. And it works very well. I'm real pleased with that. I think you did a good job on that size of a board and the amount of intelligence it can do. It's amazing. It would definitely outrank the old TI board just for sure. Katie for Oscar Victor India.
TI 99. You're dating yourself there, Tiger. I have the same problem, Pete. Big fingers in some of these notepads that I've got around here require me to use a stylus to operate the keyboard, because otherwise my finger overlaps half the keyboard, you know, that type of thing. All right. Well, thank you, sir. Let me move on so that I can turn this over to George. The last comment I would make is we left the Pi, if we left the Pi, or a small board computer just taking one picture after another, without any way to limit the images to when something is actually happening in the carrier's field or vision, such as tree branches or ceiling fans, you name it, we would have a lot of pictures to sort through, and time required would be less than ideal. So, the answer in motion detection and masking out the tree branches and ceiling fans and other moving objects out of motion field can be done with this setup operation. So in order to get into this a little bit further and beyond, I'm going to turn it over to George, N-O-7-O, and thank him for, he did the major assembly of the script that was used for the program tonight, and I think he should be very much congratulated. Thank you, George. KY6V, the show is yours, sir.
Your KY6V and the South Cars September TIN. September, gracious. This is George N070 in Nottingham, Nottingham Forest, Maryland. And thank you, Gordon. It's a pleasure to be here and to see all of our South Cars family here tonight and who will be listening on the podcast later. So, motion detection is another fantastic feature that can be used here. I mean, think about when you have a camera image, how do you know if something has happened? Well, you compare one image to the next image, and if something has moved, it can take a picture. But what if that movement is a ceiling fan or a tree branch? Then you have all these images, but nothing happening there. So we're going to talk about how you can detect motion and how you can exclude motion detection as well. So let's come to that in just a moment. I will like to take just a moment to see if there are any other check-ins before we get down into the nitty-gritty detail of that. And I think you will find motion detection to be a fascinating topic. So stay with us, but let me just see if there's any more check-ins right now. And I do want to recognize PU2OLU, who said hello in the chat box earlier tonight, saying that this is his first time using Echo Link. So PU2OLU, if you are still here, thank you for coming by and spending time with us tonight. All right, if there are any check-ins, comments, or rechecks before we move into the nitty-gritty of motion detection, please call now. This is N-O-7-O. Over.
Net control, please copy. Kilo, Golf, number 5, Foxtrot, Romeo, Quebec, KG5FRQ.
Ned recognizes Kilo Golf 5 Foxtrot Romeo Quebec, KG5FRQ. Thank you for coming by the TIN tonight, sir. Please give us your name and location and where your location might be close to in case we might not know and about the weather. And also, do you have a special interest in cameras or photography? KG5FRQ, NO70. Over.
Check in, Fred from Dearborn Heights, Michigan, N8QOO, 81 degrees, clear. I have infrared and regular cameras and telescopes. Thank you for the greatness.
Well, it's our pleasure to have someone of your expertise and experience here with us tonight as well. Thank you. I don't know if you're a Southcar's member or not, but we have a... I'd like to extend to you the opportunity for a lifetime free membership in Southcar's. You can go to the Southcar's website. I spell phonetically, Sierra Charlie Alpha Romeo Sierra, Victor Oscar India Papa.com under the membership link on the left-hand side, and or just send an email. Details are there about how to do it, and we'll get you that free membership, and you can then be receiving emails about future events and programs here on Southcar's. How copy, Brad? KG5FRQ, NL70, over.
N is zeros, NO70, this is KG5FRQ. Go ahead, sir.
Okay, well, thank you, sir. Very good. And hello to Dearborn as well. 81 degrees, sounds pretty comfortable. All right, well, it's time. Let me see, were there any other check-ins or rechecks before I could proceed on? Please call now. This is NO70, over. All right, nothing heard. So, well, let's move on to how you can use motion detection to make examination of the captured images of your small bore computer camera or Raspberry Pi camera a lot easier, where you don't have to sort through every second or 2 seconds of images in 24 hours and only capture where something has changed in the motion. So let's talk about how you may limit your captured images only to when action of interest or concern is captured by your computer or camera setup. Now, when using a series of still images to monitor your valuables or vulnerable areas to intrusion or theft, thousands of pictures could be taken in less than 24 hours. Reviewing each of the images over that 24 hours would take a long time when there's nothing to be seen in the photographs without motion detection. The solution to identify only the pictures of interest is to use motion detection where the previous image is compared to the latest image to see if anything has changed in the image from one to the next. For example, a ceiling fan blade rotation or trees in your backyard with leaves and branches in motion definitely could be recorded. However, that's not of interest. So how do we exclude ceiling fans or leaves or branches? Well, the image comparison can be done pixel by pixel or by a screen area of the images. If any part of the image pixels or screen area have changed, then motion has been detected and that image will be saved to the disk. By adjusting the image duration and sensitivity to the motion detection may also be used to fine-tune the image comparison and therefore possibly reduce the number of images to be compared. What we can do is mask out that part of the photo where the tree branches or ceiling fan was moving, and think of a square or rectangle, and this is where the rotation of the Pi image comes in from 1 to 359 degrees. No matter which orientation you mount the camera case in, you can adjust the designation of the four corners of that rectangle to be excluded from the motion detection logic and then capture only the frames of interest. I think that's pretty interesting, and it's a lot of fun to play around with setting up. Okay, I see I timed out. So can someone tell me the last words that they heard, please? This is NO70, over. Well, I didn't hear anything, so let me just repeat back that we can set up the coordinates of the four border points of rectangles, and that will exclude those from the motion detection logic so that a ceiling fan will not be detected because that part of the image is blacked out in the or excluded or occluded in the comparison for motion detection. So by adjusting the image duration and then sensitivity to the motion detection may be used to fine-tune the image comparison and therefore possibly reduce the number of images to be compared in your review of your surveillance footage. Let me reset. Also, areas of the room or area being photographed can be masked out of the image comparison or motion detection by applying a mask over the part of the images to be excluded. This is especially important in combination with the options available for the Raspi Still and Raspi Vid commands that Gordon was talking about, because changes in the field of vision or orientation will affect successful motion detection. For example, if you exclude the top 15 lines of an image and then rotate the camera in its case 90 degrees, now your exclusion is not the same area and you wind up getting false motion detection. So that's why the rotation of from 359 degrees and other options are important for the Raspi Vid and Raspi Still commands. Let me reset. So examples of objects that probably need to be excluded by masking a part of the chest image would include ceiling fans, trees, bushes, where you sit in the room or where your shadow falls from another room into the area being photographed. For example, as you may walk between rooms and your shadow falls into the room area where the Pi camera is, and other areas of the house or your Radio Shack. Flowers and plants in the room that with motion from the heating and cooling airflow in the room may be another source of false motion detections that would need to be excluded from the series of saved images by masking out those parts of the images that have the motion detected during the shadows falling into the room. Now, while it is possible to take a single image or to start recording a single video and stop it when desired, automated operation and motion detection for the unattended Raspberry Pi camera action to detect intruders will require some programming to control the Raspberry Pi operation. Let me reset. A single core, single thread processors such as on the Raspberry Pi Zero will consume all of that model's operation. For the later models of Raspberry Pi boards, you will have the advantage of multi-core and even multi-thread operation that can divide the tasks between the camera operation and other functions running on the Pi, such as automated text messages, blocking DNS operation, domain name server operation, Wi-Fi range extenders, simultaneous web page servers on the Raspberry Pi, and many other useful Raspberry Pi controls like robotics, and even controlling the pan and zoom of the Raspberry Pi camera image. However, to implement all of these functions in the Python program can be a learning curve. However, once you have learned this and become comfortable with it, you will have new and useful skills for your radio operation and computer skills as you implement the Pi camera operation according to the hardware capabilities of the model of Raspberry Pi and camera being used. Resetting. Now, if you're thinking that the Raspberry Pi camera and the Raspberry Pi small board computer or other small board computer are working pretty hard on this and getting heated up some, you're very perceptive. Thermal protection of the camera in small unventilated cases are a very important consideration to avoid damaging the Pi or small board computer or camera itself. When storing the Pi main board and the camera module inside such a small case without fan ventilation and a heavy duty cycle of taking photos, comparing them for motion detection, daytime snapping the photos, saving them to an output device, then heat dissipation of the Pi or any small board computer becomes an important implementation concern and long-term reliability issue. Therefore, it is important to use a heat sink on the Pi CPU chip and to be sure there will not be any short circuit paths between the Pi camera touching the Raspberry Pi board itself. Let me reset. So far we've been looking at the Raspberry Pi itself and how to put it together. Let's look now at the Raspberry Pi and camera placement in your radio room. Where do you put the camera for the best advantage? What are the factors to consider? How do you decide the best place in your radio room or in your house or in the children's room or the new infant's room for the camera to monitor and record imaging events? The entry door into the radio room or room of interest in your house is probably the best place to start, where people may be walking in. If you have an image of that entry door, you will be able to see who has come in and out when you are not in the room. If possible, a view of the operating desk in your shack could be combined in that image, or if not, a second Pi camera would be so inexpensive that it would be worth the proof photos in case of theft or unauthorized intrusion by having multiple cameras and small board computers. Resetting. It has long been a requirement, and now in these days, an understanding that the control operator of a station is responsible for the physical security of the premises and of the personnel inside the radio facility wherever a radio signal emission could be triggered. This goes to the control operator regulations of someone in the shack. Another area of interest for the Pi camera could be the kitchen area. Many news stories have covered the details of an intruder helping themselves to a snack and then resting on the sofa before leaving. However, most professional thieves are in and out in less than 5 minutes. Yet, it may still be possible that they take a moment to look for a refreshing beverage in the refrigerator before leaving. And that's why the kitchen could be a worthy area of camera focus and may even give a better detail of the intruder's face as they turn around 360 degrees at the refrigerator door, and now you have a picture of your refrigerator cookie thief. A major consideration is where to mount the camera itself. Resetting. The decision of how to protect your radio equipment from unauthorized intrusion, or your refrigerator cookies from theft, or your ice cream pints from being taken when you're not at home, is between a clandestine location and an easily apparent mounting, where just the camera's mounting and easily visible presence serves as a deterrent to anyone coming into the shack who's not authorized to be there and then seeing the camera and realizing that it's probably not in their best interest to stay too long. The best possible mounting would be both an easily apparent shell of a camera case, one of our check-ins earlier mentioned this, and then an additional clandestine placement of an operational Raspberry Pi camera somewhat removed from the empty camera shell distraction. Resetting. Now, let's also add in another function here, environmental monitoring while you have your Raspberry Pi camera working. And this is something I wish that I had implemented when I was actually away from the shack for 9 days while I was in the hospital for about those 9 days, and we had a flood, a serious flood warning in the area, and I didn't know if there was water on the floor or if the equipment might be at risk, and I couldn't tell. Well, we can set up environmental monitoring. So if you're on vacation, away from the shack, need to know what the environmental conditions are. Has there been a failure of your air conditioning unit inside our house or apartment? The Raspberry Pi camera board may be programmed to monitor the camera images and at the same time to record environmental temperature, humidity. It can monitor and detect chemical vapors, sense radioactivity levels such as in basement areas, and even monitor and control the illumination level in the room. And you can observe all of this, as Gordon said earlier, remotely by using the ports and going over the internet to stream the information. So you can add in environmental monitoring to Raspberry Pi motion detection and imaging, and that's a pretty nice set of functions. So before I come up to any final thoughts, let me stop now and see if there are any check-ins, thoughts, comments. Love to know what your thoughts are. Would have you found the information tonight to be something of interest, whether you would implement it or not? Has it been interesting to you? Have you learned something that might help protect your equipment? Just any thoughts, comments, please call now. This is NO70. Over. You're
6, Victor.
Oscar, Victor, India.
Well, thank you, gentlemen. Net recognizes KY6V and KD4OVI. Thank you, gentlemen. KY6V, first up at bat, NO70. Over to you.
Yeah, thanks again, George. KY6V here. For some odd reason, I seem to be hung up on the thought of the cookie burglar, but this playing around with washing machines, stealing laundry, stealing time, stealing quarters, whatever. And I came up to the conclusion while you were going through your razzmatazz there and listening in the background, that what we need to really have some fun with this and be effective at the same time is we mount a camera in the washing machine, okay? When a person loads the washing machine, it won't work until the washing machine is activated to take a facial picture of the person that is starting the machine. Okay, once that is said and done, if the machine is stopped at any time and the door opens, the person that opens the door has their picture taken, okay? And if it's not equal to or similar than the picture that was originally taken, alarms go off, red alerts are announced, burglary in process, etc. See what you did to me, George? KY6V, over.
KY6Z with KD4OVI and Q on the South Cars Thursday, September 2021 TIN, NO70. Gordon, that's a great thought. And, you know, actually, what you're talking about there is the Internet of Things, IoT. I mean, we know that they have fingerprint authorization on laptops and computers now. We know that especially over in Jitterbit, AZL's part of the world, there's a lot of video surveillance that goes on. My goodness, it's pervasive in London in that area. By facial recognition, which is a very big thing, that could easily be a part of the Internet of Things related to the operation of the washer and dryer. And I like the idea. So, somebody might, even someone listening tonight, consider inventing a washer and dryer that participates in the Internet of Things, where you have to use your fingerprint to start the cycle and end the cycle. What do you think, Gordon? KY6V, NO70. Over.
Yeah, I think it has a lot of approaches. You know, with inquisitive minds, all of us could put together so many thoughts here, we'd make the world crazier than it is right now, George. KY6V, over.
Well, that's what's nice about these Thursday Information Nets, is it's to get us to thinking about our skills as communicators and hobbyists and problem solvers and solution makers. Indeed. I'm kind of partial, too, to the thought of having a teddy bear in the laundry basket with a battery-operated Raspberry Pi camera inside the teddy bear, with the teddy bear eyes having the camera behind them pointed at the laundry. And that way you can, until somebody invents this, still find out who has stolen the time. I mean, I have lost a lot of dryer time, Cohen's and times, in the last couple years here. It's been rampant as well. So, you know, so teddy bears or in laundry baskets, or fingerprint authorization on Internet of Things for washers and dryers. You could even use a Raspberry Pi with an RFID badge and some of these automated door locks through the Internet of Things, where you can use a remote control to lock and unlock the door to the shack. You could have your own highly secure door lock to get into and out of the Radio Shack. And Gordon, that would allow you to keep the alligators and crocodiles from the back porch of the South Cars headquarters out of your Radio Shack. KY6VNO70, over.
Well, okay, George. I don't know if I'm worried about alligators right now. But a lot of things, you know. It's nice to stimulate one's thinking. Go ahead and pick up Pete, KY6V, and thanks for running the show. Over.
Very good. Thank you, Gordon. All right. Thank you for the comments. KD4OVI, good evening. And what do you think, and how many alligators in your backyard, and do you have any backyard surveillance set up at your shack location or anything there? KD4OVI, NO70, or what do you think about what we talked about tonight? Just even that simple question. Over to you.
The thought has come to my mind is, if you're looking at a picture and there's some small things moving about, I wouldn't really pay attention to that. I would go by sizing the object that goes by. Most of it is, if it is some point of interest, that you care about more of the size of the project than project here, than movement of small things. So if there's a continual movement, you know that's immaterial because it's there all the time. So you have to quantify that timing of that, of the small things that are moving about. Quantify those as typical. And if some other large object comes along, like a duck flying in the background, yeah, you want to notice that because of the size. And it has been there, but just for 1 second. That's what my concern would be if you were to write a program. So far as identifying who's there and facial recognition go along with it also. But I was just thinking, I was talking to Gordon about this, I'm just going to digress from the discussion here. I'm going to take a little pause here. I was talking to Gordon about this thing that I've stumbled across. Using the VNet program, the new one, with SlowScan TV. Now I was thinking about maybe I'll have a session on that some evening on the next net schedule. I should put that on there too, because it is definitely ham related, and just wanting to see if we could assemble a program in regards to that. But that would be my recommendation as to writing a program, just to pay attention to large and duck-like figurines flying about in a room. Katie for Oscar, Virginia, back to net control.
Well, thank you for those thoughts, Pete. Well, please email Gordon the suggestion for the slow scan. Of course, that can be make it difficult in terms of image detection, but it certainly is a good thought. And what you are talking about with larger objects, one thing of interest, you know, we are seeing an epidemic of package thieves stealing packages and deliveries off of porches. And there have been glitter bombs set up that detect whether they're in range of a Wi-Fi connection for that house or that SSID. And when the package loses its Wi-Fi connection to that SSID, then the glitter explodes out of the box and gets all over the thief and inside the car of the thief and so forth. So there have been glitter bombs, glue bombs, smoke, smoke and glitter, water, you know, water and all that to help deter package thieves as well for larger objects. So, KD4OVI, how about that for another use in 070? Over.
Yeah, that's precisely what I'm saying. Forget about them small objects that are just floating around these leaves. You can just count those things, because you know those are going to be there all the time. So you just realize that that portion of the picture, you don't care. But you care about those huge elephants that are roaming around in your backyard. Katie Kowalski, Virginia, back to the control.
Thank you. And I'm also reminded of the images that have been captured by of clowns inside, a few years ago when there was an epidemic of clowns running around in cornfields and farm fields and so forth and being captured being surprised by a airplane flying overhead or something. So, there's a lot of stuff that goes on out there, whether being cat sites or places that we don't know about. All right, well, let's move back to the thought of camera surveillance related to your personal own property and Radio Shack's and come up with some final thoughts here and tie the ribbon on tonight's TIN. Let me reset. So this is the South Cars Thirsty Information Net for September 2021, where we are looking at the possibility of helping to protect your house, apartment, flat, property, money, safes, storage locations, package deliveries, and your Radio Shack equipment as well, by using very inexpensive Raspberry Pi cameras, or whether it's better for you to consider a commercial solution. All of those are factors to think about. So, in summary, a Raspberry Pi camera can be used for still image photography, for videography and making movies, for storing an image of important documents, and with a range of newer, higher resolution cameras available to the Raspberry Pi, a wide range of uses for manual operation are easily available with a command line execution in a terminal window, or through an automated program such as using Python. Let me reset. And also importantly, the use of a Raspberry Pi camera and environmental monitoring and robotics, as we were talking about, including having a lock on the communication room door or bedroom door inside the house. Importantly, a camera can also help prevent unauthorized transmissions from your station by unknown persons and protect personnel entrusted with operation of your transmitting equipment. In case of an emergency, your backup parts cabinet should then also have the stock needed for physical station equipment repairs in the case of an emergency where you have to get your equipment back on air, especially in hurricane season and adverse weather, fire events, and dwindling water supplies such as we're seeing in the United States and this hemisphere. So, more advanced operation with automation of image capture, motion detection, and proper placement to aid in identification of intruders, or we can also use robotics collision detection and prevention. We can date time stamps some pictures and videos, and there are other useful visual functions. These are all possible with the Raspberry Pi camera. The greatest disadvantage, let me reset and give you that disadvantage. The greatest disadvantage of a Raspberry Pi-based camera setup is the lack of a reliable audio stream or any accurate audio tracking. Now, this can all be done with a Raspberry Pi or small board camera for hundreds to thousands of dollars less than a professional installation. The only downside is that the Raspberry Pi is not rated for the professional level of 24 hours per day or 7 days per week that are available from commercial operation service company services. That said, small board computer and Raspberry Pi camera operation still does an excellent job, however, for a fraction of the cost. With only a little bit of learning and knowledge applied by you, the person responsible for your station, for your house, for your package deliveries, for your car parked outside your home or your carport, for your property's integrity, your station's operation, and for you and your family's and property's safety. So that is the advantage of an economical Raspberry Pi. You can have all of that with just a little more risk to 24/7 operation than a 24/7 reliable commercial setup may provide for you. So those are the final thoughts on this. Let me, now I had a note here also that KB9EWG question, did you want to take final check-ins and then close the net, or am I surprising you with this question? KB9EWG, NO70, over.
Well, I'm glad you turned it to me that I was going to check in anyways, because I did have a question and comment myself. First of all, I wanted to echo what Gordon was saying about a very well-written script this evening. A lot of good thought went into it there. Thank you so much for doing that. I like Gordon's comments about the automated boxing glove, although I think a taser would be a more feasible option. and I did have a question for you, George. You know, you were talking about water and flooding and everything else, and I do know that they have sensors you can put on the floor near a water source, like a water heater or whatever else there, you know. Would a sensor like that be able to be tied into this type of system as well there? NO70 from KB9EWG. And, yeah, I'll go ahead and take check-ins and close up things there when you're ready. Back to you there, George.
Well, thank you, Dave. All right. Well, yes, I do have a comment about the humidity, about the water sensor. And thank you. I will turn it back then to you for that conclusion and postamble. Yes, you could certainly use a water sensor with the Raspberry Pi. But it does, I'm glad you asked the question, David, because there is one important consideration with the Raspberry Pi sensors. Raspberry Pi sensors, Raspberry Pi detection of sensor output is limited to digital sensors or signal levels only. The Raspberry Pi does not recognize as analog sensor output. It has to be digitized, and then the GPIO pins can react to the digital changes that occur as a result of sensors connected to the Raspberry Pi. But if the water level sensor is converted to a digital signal and sent to the Raspberry Pi GPIO pins, then the program can easily detect that digital signal level change and therefore activate a sensor or indicator light, or even email a text warning, or display on a web page site an alert. Maybe you have your own private web page that you can log into with your own password, and you would see the alert that way as well. Or the Raspberry Pi can text you such an alert as well too. I have a Raspberry Pi set to text me at midnight and 3 a.m. every morning a link for weather, as well as morning website links that I use each morning too. So yes, you can include those additional useful functions that a Raspberry Pi is very capable of doing. Did I answer your question, KB9AWG, and a 7-0, over.
Oh, that makes perfect sense to me, yes. So it's got your digitized signal. Got it. No problem. Excellent job, George. Anything further before I wrap things up? Does anybody have any questions, comments, or any of the presenters this evening? If so, come now, please.
Six Sector.
Oscar, Virginia.
Sierra, Zulu, Lima.
Okay, three fine people there. Gordon, 6B, go ahead there with your question or comment.
Yeah, thanks, David. Well, this one is for George, two quickies. George, I'm confused in your statement of requiring digital transfer for the computer. It was my understanding that you can program in a simple switch closure or opening, you know, an on and off function, and have the Raspberry work. Question number one. Because if you're talking about water on the floor, bilge pumps have been around for boats for years, okay? They work on a flow switch. When the water gets to a certain level, the flow switch closes the contacts, the pump starts. Why can't that work with a Raspberry Pi, as an example? Second comment. Completely remove. You didn't mention, and probably should have, George, that you have already personally performed a field study on the effectiveness of a Raspberry Pi by the number of weeks that you ran it consistently monitoring its blood pressure. You might want to comment on that. KY6V. Dave, I'm going to throw it back to George. George, go ahead.
Any QOO questions?
Station that just called in through the HAMP conference. I missed. It was very low audio. Please come back with your call again. This is NO70 on behalf of KB9AWG. Over.
Yes, this is Fred. NAQOO. I think the Raspberry Pi has an analog to digital converter in it. So you could use the analog input. Okay.
Well, I was having a lot of trouble copying the audio, but I heard the words analog converter, and yes, I think the comments that I had to answer Gordon's question will cover that as well. So I have two questions from Gordon, and then I know that KB9EWG has another check-in after that. So let me take Gordon's two questions one at a time here as we're getting into a very I appreciate the enthusiasm and the comments tonight regarding this topic on the Thursday Information Net. Please set it. So Gordon, regarding the analog to digital, what can be done, I would, is the water level sensor, like a bilge level, you know, is it 6 inches, 9 inches deep, 12 inches deep, then any type of integrated circuits or set of transistors or set of ICs that could take that analog amount of inches of moisture and then convert it into a digital signal, then the program could recognize that on the Raspberry Pi, and then by that digital value respond to the sensor. That is one factor concerning the Raspberry Pi camera, is that you do have to send to it a digital signal, or I2C signal can also be used, and then convert the analog value to a digital value which the GPIO can recognize. So that's the answer to the first one, is that it is a digital sensor, and there's leading edge and falling edge of the sawtooth wave of the digital that has to be programmed into the Python or C language program to detect the changes in the signal level. Let me reset. I won't try to get any further into the programming considerations, because Python programming is not really the focus of tonight. So, but that is an analog to digital conversion. Just anything you can do to set it from a sliding up and down into a discrete sawtooth wave will satisfy the Pi's GPIO requirements. And Gordon, thank you for asking about the number, about the trial period. Yes, I actually put a Pi Zero camera in a small case, no ventilation, with the camera lens poking out through that, and the Pi Zero was inside the same case with that, with the Pi camera itself, set it up, and it ran uninterrupted except for a power failure where I had to reset it. It sat there and did motion detection and set forth the images only when motion was detected. And my recollection was that it ran between 26 and 32 weeks. And the only reason why it didn't run any longer is that with the changes in the open source code for security reasons, just like you update your computer programs as security alerts come out, then I took it down and upgraded the operating system for those security advantages or updates that have been applied to the open source library. So yeah, so it ran, for months and would have run except I wanted to implement the security updates for the code. Did I answer your questions, please, Courtney? KY6V on the 30TIN, NR70. Over.
Yeah, pretty much so. Thank you, George. We'll get into this deeper. I don't want to hold the net up. We're 40 minutes into the second hour. I'm going to leave it for future talks with you. If you can send off an alarm from a Raspberry Pi when somebody opens up your front door, you ought to be able to send off an alarm when your bilge pump, which is within a half an inch of the floor, activates. KY6V. Go ahead, sir.
Actually, that can be done, because that's 0-1 logic, and that can be done. If you wanted to know if it's 1 inch, 2 inches, 3 inches, 4 inches, 6 inches, then those can be converted into discrete digital signal levels and do the same. And yes, actually, it is very easy. When this Raspberry Pi camera detects the door being opened, it can send a text message to your cell phone. It can send an email to your email address. It can turn on a klaxon or alarm if you want it to. if one is installed, it can set off all sorts of noise to deter intruders or package thieves. So thank you for asking me that, and really enjoyed being able to elaborate some of that. And thanks again for the question about the reliability and the number of weeks used. With that, let me turn it back over to KB9 EWG, who has another check-in in queue. KB9 EWG on the Thursday, September 2021 PIN, NL70. Over.
Well, thank you to the captain, and also thank you to George for very good comments. K4OBI, you had a recheck with some comments or questions. Go ahead there, please.
And this is Katie Pulaski again. I got 2 points. One point is that there was some discussion on environmental sensors that you can plug into your Raspberry Pi. This is for the audience. Is there a way, is there a vendor that produces these environmental controls that you can add on to the Raspberry Pi? That's my number one. Number two, I just want to reinforce the suggestion I made to the group here, as maybe we can in the future have a TIN net in regards to slow scan TV and what the revival rate of that could be if we discuss that as a possible information about what's out in the field, what you can use to send still pictures to somebody without using huge amount of equipment to do that. I find it very intriguing that the people that develop Peanut and the SoulScan TV people put their heads together and say, listen, why can't we use SoulScan TV on the internet? And that's my brief for the night. Katie for Oscar Virginia, back to net control.
Well, thank you, Pete. Does George or Gordon or anybody else have any response to Pete's questions there, especially relating to the sensors he's referring to and possible vendors? This is Kevin EWG.
NL70.
Go right ahead.
Well, a couple of thoughts, and N8QOO put a very insightful comment in the text box as well, which I feel like I need to clarify because he raises a very valid point, but there may be some misunderstanding as well. First of all, SlowScan TV was implemented pre-internet and was based on the bandwidth limitations of weak signal propagation, including to spacecraft and long range, you know, like between the moon and back and so forth, or in satellite communications. We don't have those bandwidth limitations in today's internet age. They're using slow scan TV over the internet is wasting a lot of bandwidth, and it costs a lot in terms of internet infrastructure, where they have to build an extra internet capacity if there were a lot of slow scan activity. But of course there isn't, so they are always having to plan ahead. There are all sorts of FCC hearings and decisions and spectrum auctions, frequency spectrum auctions, the conversion of TV signals from NTSC to digital nowadays, the digital TV carriers. That's all such a matter in and of itself, and there are organizations such as the NAB and the Society of Broadcast Engineers that have excellent seminars. May cost you some money to see those, or you can use YouTube to see free updates as well. So SlowScan TV would consume a lot of internet resources and tie up that signal path when it's really made for a different purpose, but it certainly is an effective method of communication and excellent for learning more about a camera and video transmission to a degree set. This is not to in any way diminish what KD4VI had to say about the value of slow scan TV, but one has to think about the intent of the service being offered as well. So now match the tool to the task to be done, yes, is what I'm trying to say. Use a Phillips head on a Phillips head screwdriver screw, and use a straight edge screwdriver on a straight edge screw would be the thought there. Let me then switch over to NHQOO's comment. Let me reset. In the text box, NHQOO says that the Pi has an analog-to-digital converter. Let me elaborate on that. There are now different attachment boards. For example, the Pico board and other headers, power over Ethernet adapters, different buck converters and so forth, what are called hats, that can sit like a hat on top of a Raspberry Pi camera board. The Raspberry Pi board itself is documented as having no analog to digital conversion features. It just doesn't have it. However, when you add on these hats or Pico boards or some of the more modern hats, and this is a whole new range of products that are proliferating just in the last few months, with the increasing interest in robotics that is coming out of the colleges and high schools, very talented young people stretching the limits of robotics and commands using Raspberry Pis, then those hats do provide an analog to digital, but the Raspberry Pi itself does not have that function. And the discussion tonight on the Pi camera has been limited to the use of the Pi small bore computer without any of the hats attached, so that the cost mentioned would be realistic in terms of how much a person would have to consider spending to implement a $20 to $80 Raspberry Pi camera. So those are the comments that I would have in reply to those questions. David, KB9AWG on the GIN, NL70, over.
Thank you, George. Excellent comments, and I'm sure it opens up a door to further comments in the future there. We've also got Dave, GWZL, standing by, who had a question or comment there. Dave, go ahead there, please.
Yeah, thank you, Dave. This is Golf Whiskey 8, Sierra Zulu Lima. Yeah, I couldn't go to bed without these couple of comments. You love the idea about the boxing glove, Gordon, and the glitter bombs, but maybe a claymore or a slab of C4 might be more appropriate. Hi. Regarding your bilge pump, yeah, well, we're using a lot of Raspberry Pis now over here in the UK and for industrial applications. And basically, it would work as is. All you need to do is have a closed loop going through the float switch. So whatever the switch is for the bilge, to activate the bilge pump. Of course, when the level comes up, the float rises, breaks the circuit, and then it'll output the output from the Raspberry Pi to start the pump. So that will work on a normal Raspberry Pi. Obviously, to make it fail safe, normal operation will be to have a closed circuit on the input to the sensor for the actual float on the bilge to detect the water rise in the bilge. And then if, say, the wire got cut through or eaten by a rat on board the ship or whatever, it would fail safe and start the pump just in case. And then you'll have to go and have a look at it. But I was thinking, you know, you're all, you know, putting cameras on top of radio masts and towers. And if you put the Raspberry Pi camera up on top of your 100-foot tower just below your 6-element tri-band beam running 1.5 kilowatts. I wonder what would happen to the Raspberry Pi. I wonder if it'll fry it or not. So those are my comments. And regarding the analog to digital converter for the Raspberry Pi, I've used MCP3008s before, and with the appropriate programming, say you've got 0 to 5 volts from the ADC, and I'll give you an analog input, and then you could write the Python software, it's getting late here, to sort of have a little bar graph as the level rises, and that could be from a temperature sensor, pressure sensor, or anything like that. Let me just reset. So you can actually do it, but George, you're right. I don't think there's an actual ADC actually available as hardware on the bog standard Raspberry Pi, but the MCP3008 works well. So okay, with that, I will pass it back to Dave there. From Golf Whiskey 8 Sierra Zulu Lima, and it's coming up to nearly 5 to 2am here in the UK. Take it away, Dave.
Yeah, you are up rather late there, Dave, but thank you for your being there and participating this evening. Certainly was a pleasure hearing from you as well there. This is KB9EWG for the Thursday Information Net. Does anybody wish to check in, participate, have any comments, questions, or anything else before I wrap things up here?
Recheck for a final.
Pete, KD4OBI, go ahead with your recheck there, please.
Yeah, we're talking about cameras. Now, what if we were to do this? Like a multimeter has a display, right? Why don't you take a picture of a display of a multimeter or any other thing you want to convert analog to digital or whatever else have you. It does the calculations already in the meter. Or you put a temperature coupling on the meter and study the temperature of your ice cubes. You can take a picture of the meter on a simple DVM meter, which has the ability to take your temperature and display it as a display. Just take a picture of it with the camera of the Raspberry and interpolate the numerical sequence, and you have it right there. Right on the video side of the computer system, you have your display of what your temperature is without any huge amount of conversions or this and that. Simplify the matter. Katie Fulaska, Virginia, back in the control.
Okay, interesting comments there. Thank you. This is KB9EWG for the Thursday Information Net. Does anybody have any further questions, comments, any questions for any of the participants this evening, or anything else you wish to mention before we wrap up the net here? This is KB9EWG. Look for check-ins.
N07, I gave KD4VI kind of a hard time earlier. Regarding the multimeter, I have a thought that would combine the multimeter with motion detection, which hopefully will put a nice maraschino cherry on top of the discussion tonight. N07, over.
George, by all means, go ahead and put the cherry on top there.
All right, very good. Well, we talked about masking out a part of the image so that we eliminated spurious motion detection. Well, if you have a Raspberry Pi camera taking a picture of a multimeter meter face with a needle in it, well, the first question comes to mind, why not use a digital output for the multimeter, since they all have that nowadays, almost all do. But if you want to do it using a camera, then you could, if you're interested in whether it's above 5 volts, for example, then you can mask out the multimeter image face below 5 volts so that the Pi doesn't see that, just like you could mask out part of an image for motion detection. And then when the Pi sees the needle go up above 5 volts, for example, and higher, then that being seen instead of masked out, that could then create a digital output, activate a relay, activate an ITC, activate a remote control, activate an unlock, set up a siren, all these things we talked about. You know, this is the interesting part about Raspberry Pis, as Dave Giudietta said, I was saying. The ingenuity of these young people in elementary school, whatever it may be called over there, and colleges, and with the robotics, and Raspberry Pis are even being used in hospitals now, even though they're not rated for 24/7 operation. There are some incredibly talented and amazingly adaptable people who are learning how to implement these Pis in robotics and other functions, and it's amazing what these young people are doing. So come enjoy the fun for yourselves. It is a lot of fun, and you gain extra skills as you build your expertise using the Raspberry Pi camera and other technology. All right, thank you. I know we've gone very late. KB9EWG on the South Coast TIN on September 2021, NL70. Over.
And I think that did put the cherry on top there very nicely. Thank you, George. I also like the comments about the claymores and the C4 and all that. Although I still think the taser would be the most most practical use there. But okay, sounds great. Anybody else wishing to have a check-in, comment, or anything else before I put the icing on top here? Well, hearing nothing else, first of all, I want to say a big thank you to George for putting this together this evening. Lots of good information was exchanged, a well-written script. Thank you so much. Thank you to all the participants. This is Lynn Scars, UIP. Net schedules and general information may be found on our scarsvoip.com website. That's scarsvoip.com. Your net control for this session has been myself, David, and Gordon, George, Dave, and other participants there. So thank you all for your checking in and participating this evening. I say 7-3, this net is now secured, and I'm turning the server back to normal amateur use. This is KB9EWG 7-3, and good evening. Thanks all.